Let us pray. Speak to us your word, O God, that we may hear your call to be disciples. Amen. The scripture reading today comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and did not do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever seen the movie Big Fish? It's based on a book by Daniel Wallace, and the movie opens with the father, Edward, telling a story of mythical proportions during his son Will's wedding party. He tells of the day Will was born, when he caught an enormous catfish using only his golden wedding ring as bait. Will was frustrated with his dad's relentless storytelling. He believed that his father only told these colorful lies as a way to conceal himself and explain away his absences. Will demands to know the truth, and this causes a rift between them. As the story unfolds, we get to see Edward's colorful history as well, like how he was bedridden for 3 years due to rapid growth spurts, how he learns about his ultimate death by looking into a witch's glass eye, or where he chooses to travel the world with a misunderstood giant named Carl. And together, they join the circus in order to learn the identity of a beautiful woman that Edward had seen. On and on, the larger-than-life stories unfold. The story of Jonah unfolds with similar proportion. It is kind of wild. Jonah, this Old Testament short story that many of us probably remember reading in our children's Bibles, is equally and intentionally fantastical. I don't mean to burst anyone's bubble here, but Jonah is not a historical account. It's a fictional story that points to a deep truth, as all good fiction does. It is packed full of literary devices that clue us in on this fact. The story of Jonah begins with God calling the prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah runs in the opposite direction. This is ironic because a prophet, by definition, is supposed to tell people what God says. Like, divine messenger is the first line of the prophet's job description. But Jonah runs towards Tarshish, which translates nowhere. He hops on a boat, and there is a huge storm. The sailors realize the storm is happening because Jonah has made God angry, and Jonah tells them to throw him overboard. Then God provides a giant fish to swallow him up. Remember that when we think of the ways that God provides. The story of Jonah definitely touches the fantastical nature of Edwards. So it goes on. From the belly of this great fish, Jonah prays to the Lord, saying, "I called to the Lord out of my distress, and God answered me." Even though this prayer is kind of presumptuous, God still does deliver Jonah and has the great fish spew him onto the shore. And this is where our scripture picks up today. Jonah is again, finally, on dry land and trying to figure out what to do next. So God again tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Reluctantly now Jonah goes. Jonah only spends one day preaching to a city that's meant to take 3 days to cover. This amount of effort from Jonah is like when I ask my kids to find their socks. Then Jonah preaches a sermon that's barely a sentence long. 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. This is a horrible sermon. He does not tell them why Nineveh will be overthrown, or even by who. There are no clever quips or enlightening stories. Y'all, he doesn't even mention God. My preaching professors would have failed him. Yet the whole city repents. The king of Nineveh went from royal robe to sackcloth and ashes. He proclaimed that every living thing would fast, from cows to kings. The whole city sits in sackcloth and ashes. They cry out to God and turn from their evil ways. They repent from the violence that is in their hands. And who knows, the king says. God may relent. God may turn from fierce anger so that we do not perish. It is a comical overabundance of repentance. But yet, God changes God's mind. God chooses to show grace and to not bring calamity upon them. God shows mercy to this city whose evil was so great that it rose up heavenward like a stench. And the Bible never tells us why Nineveh is so wicked or why Jonah was so reluctant to go. It was originally written to an audience that would have already known. You see, Nineveh will eventually become the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Jonah was a prophet from the northern kingdom of Israel, the part of the country that was obliterated by the Assyrians. The Assyrians were known to be especially cruel to the people that they conquered, and this was at a point in history that's remembered for its violence. So Nineveh represents a wicked and bloodthirsty empire. And yet, when they repent, God is gracious and merciful. God's compassion, it turns out, is boundless, not just limited to the us, but also available for the them. Even Nineveh can be reconciled to God. In the end, the truth of God's grace is absurd. We are, in fact, the fish that he is trying to catch. In the end of the movie, Will and Edward find reconciliation, too. Will realizes that all of his father's stories are true, and some of them even really happened. In telling the fishing story, Edward was wanting to show Will that something magic happened on the day he was born. And eventually, this story becomes Will's too. I hope that this story of Jonah and the grace that God shows to Nineveh can become ours as well. For the God that we worship today and seek to follow shows us grace upon grace upon grace. Amen.